Thank you, Elizabeth, again for that beautiful reminder of just turning our eyes upon Jesus. And great reminder, so thank you. I've just had a birthday recently. Who enjoys birthdays and seeing what gifts that your family may give you? It's always interesting if you've got something that you've asked for and you know you get that. But sometimes there's a bit of a gift that comes as a surprise. Who likes surprise gifts? Yes, no, yeah. A number of years ago, one of my birthdays, I received a surprise gift. Wasn't something that I'd specifically asked for, but my family were very good at listening to what I liked, and they all decided this will be his birthday present this year. And my birthday present was the joy and the privilege of going up in a plane and then jumping out. It was one of those things that for me, so I can see some of you are going, no way. But for me, it was the most exhilarating thing I have ever done. Who here has skydived? Who's done it before? There's a few people. Yes, yes. Who here wants to skydive?
Definitely.
Yeah? Who here, you would never get you into a plane to jump out. And that's all right, that's okay, because that's how people are wired. For me, I just love the adrenaline of going up in this plane and getting up there. It was only a very small plane. There were three other people, I think, jumping at the same time. And I could tell by the looks on their faces, they were packing death. They were scared as. Me, I'm ready to go. Let's get this going. This is fun, this is exciting. But there was one moment where everything just seemed to rush through my head. Of what I was actually doing. Going up in a perfectly safe plane and getting to a height where all of a sudden I was going to be leaving the safety of that plane and plummeting. And I had this flashing moment. Let's have a look at the video and I'll tell you what I actually thought, all right? Here we go. The moment came. Here, what am I doing? And that was it. This was nothing to do with right up there. In fact, it was right down here. Acacia, or Lindsay, one of you guys, do you mind just jumping into that cupboard there? I've got something that I need. Yeah, I've got something in there that I need for today, okay? That'll be the one. Okay. Because we need this today. Sorry? Need the oars. We can't be up the creek without a paddle. So thank you. Yeah. They're good. I might use those. But this is central to this whole message today. This whole experience, this boat is central to it. Now, if you've got your Bible there, just leave the oars there. So Matthew chapter 14. We need to have a little bit of a look at this together because we need to see the part that this boat plays in this whole story. So Matthew chapter 14 and starting at verse 22, we actually begin with this picture leading into this. Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000 people, all right, 5,000 plus people. So the disciples had been there, they'd had this whole experience of seeing Jesus do this miraculous thing. And then we read verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. So basically, Jesus says this, I'm going to finish off dealing with all of these people. We've just had this big party here. I've fed the whole lot of them. I'm going to deal with them. Move those people on. Disciples, I want you to jump into the boat, go across to the other side over there. I'll meet you there. I'm going to finish off here. So the disciples do that. They jump into their boat. It's probably a bit bigger than this one, but that's okay. They jump into their boat and they start going. I suppose if they probably have their oars and they're rowing across the other way. I'm probably going the wrong way, aren't I? So that's okay. I know which way I need to look where I'm going. I'm over that direction. But partway across, the disciples find themselves in the middle of a storm. They're in a storm in this boat, rocking about. They're trying to get across there. Jesus is way on the other side. Now, do you reckon the disciples might have been sitting in this boat, being rocked around, being pounded by the storm, thinking to themselves, we've given up everything to follow you, Jesus. And now, you are way over there. We're going this direction, and we're in the middle of a storm, and you are nowhere to be seen. You've left us alone. You should be here in this boat with us in the storm. You've called us to follow you, and you're not here. Can I say something that sometimes we think but may not say? That in the storms of life, sometimes it just seems like God isn't there. We find ourselves in the middle of the storm, in a boat, and there's room for somebody else. There's room for God to be here, and it just seems like you are not here. We're going this direction. We feel like God is way back there. And we're all alone. What do we do? Do you reckon when Jesus said to the disciples, jump into the boat and go across to the other side, do you reckon he really had no idea that this storm wasn't coming? Do you reckon Jesus had no concept that they'd be out in the middle of this body of water and he didn't realize the storm was going to come? Jesus, being the God of all creation, being truly and properly God, yet the physical, truly and properly man, the truly and properly God part of Jesus would have known full well what the disciples were heading into. And he still said to them, hey, I want you guys to go. I'm going to be over here. I'm going to be praying. You're going to be heading that direction. This is one of those times where the disciples may have wanted that physical presence of Jesus with them, to give them some kind of comfort and security in the midst of that storm. But this is one of those times where I suppose Jesus was saying, have faith that even though I am not physically there with you, I am with you. I will not always be physically present on this earth, but my spirit will be with you. And God was preparing his disciples for that moment when the storm of life would come, when Jesus was gone and they were dealing with everything on their own. And God knows the storms that we're going through. And while it may feel like he is so distant, be assured of God's presence with you in the midst of that storm. As they're in the boat, as the disciples are in the middle of this storm going along, they're in here, they're not sure what's going on. They've been spending all their time, I suppose, trying to bail water out of the boat just to keep it upright, just to make sure that it does get to the other side. As they are doing that, they see a figure coming along in the water. In the storm, they see Jesus and they are terrified. First of all, they're terrified for what's going on in the boat. Yeah, they're fishermen, they know what to expect. But this was one of those moments where you'd probably say, you know, enough is enough, just get us out of here. And then to see something coming towards you. And they were full of fear. They were full of fear for what they saw. Verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. They're at this point where this was probably the scariest moment of their life at this point in time. And they felt like they were alone. But Jesus comes to them in that moment. Jesus came to them. Isn't it true that sometimes the moments where we seem furthest away, and the moments when life seems its toughest, it can actually draw us close to God. That God brings his presence to us in those moments. And if you're in one of those moments, there may be the reaction, the cry out to God. And you may be fearful of what is happening around you. But I love the assurance that Jesus gives at this time. As scared as the disciples are, verse 27, Jesus responds to them immediately. He says this, take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid. Guys, come, you're far more right. I'm here. Don't you worry about it. You may be in the middle of this storm, but I am. Where he says those words of, it is I, it is quite literally translated to that description that God gave to Moses when he had to go and visit Pharaoh. Moses said, "Who do I say sent me to come and see you?" God's response to Moses was, "Tell Pharaoh, I am, has sent me." And here in this moment, as Jesus is trying to calm these disciples, his response to them is, "Don't worry about it. You may be surrounded by all of this, but I am is here. You don't have to worry. The God of creation will take care of you." And these words of assurance that Jesus gives, "I'm here for you in the storm." I love the fact that at this point of time, the focus moves to one person. It moves to Peter, this guy who we read a lot about in many different stories. And Peter's one of these guys who is either right up here or he's right down there. He's full of faith or he's running as far away as he can from who Jesus is. He's the kind of guy who will speak boldly and then think about what he said and often realize, "I've put my foot in it big time." Peter is this guy in the boat at the moment who just now, when Jesus says, "Don't worry about it, I'm here to look after you," Peter responds. And he's in the boat, and he's in here, and he says to Jesus, "Well, if it's you, Lord," I'm not sure who else he was probably expecting to see walking along the water then, but he says, "If it's you, command me to come to you." Now, if I'm in a storm in a boat and I see Jesus walking toward me, let me tell you, the first thing that's going to come to mind is not, "Tell me to get out of the boat and walk on this water." I'm going to be saying, "Well, if it's you, Jesus, how about you just tell the storm to stop? Tell it to calm down. Get rid of this storm. Make it still." But instead, Peter says, "If it's you, command me, call me to come to you." Now that's bizarre in itself. Why? I'm in a boat, surrounded by water, surrounded by a storm, and I'm saying, "How about you call me to come to you?" Wouldn't Peter have been better off saying, "Hey, if you're not going to stop the storm, you come to me. You come here to where I am." Wouldn't that be better? But instead, there's this element of faith in Peter that is saying, "All right, if Jesus is who he says he is, and I see him physically walking on this water, Jesus, call me to come to you." Now, I'm pretty certain, Peter had not done his wave walker's course. I'm pretty certain he hasn't gone and done his 10-week certificate on how to get out of the boat and walk on water that he's been signed off on. He's done the test and everything. And all he needs is that final thing. He's done his 120 hours of practical stuff. Now it's time to get out and get the full license. I'm pretty certain that Peter hasn't done any of that. In fact, this was something completely out of the ordinary. And as Peter said to Jesus, "If it's you, call me to come to you," Jesus responds with one word. That one word is simply, "Come." I like the fact that many of you may have experienced this, that God doesn't call us when we're ready. He doesn't call us when we've completed all the requirements beforehand and the certificate and all of those things. He calls us when we feel like we are not ready. And there's method behind that. Because if I'm called when I think I'm ready, then I have control over what happens. And I don't have to put in faith in who God is. But God calls us when we feel we don't have what it takes, so that we can put our faith and our trust in Him alone. Take our hands away and say, God, this has got to be You. Because I don't have what it takes. What does Peter do? Peter got down out of the boat, verse 29, and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Now, I've got to visualize this, okay? Here's Peter, would have been in the boat, and he said, if it's You, call me to come. And Jesus says, come. And then there's this moment for Peter where he has to do this. He's in the boat, and he takes a step like this. And there's one moment where he is in the boat, but out of the boat. He's got his foot on something that is very comfortable, that he knows is secure, that he knows is safe. He's been in here time and time again, and he knows what to expect. But there is this point here where this foot is completely unknown. And this is a foot of faith. And there would have been a period of time where he stands there with one foot in the boat, one foot out of the boat. And it's that moment where he needs to make a decision. There could have been an element of, what am I doing? You know, sitting on the side of a plane where you suddenly think, what on earth am I about to do? And for Peter standing in the boat and out of the boat, he needs to go, what am I doing? Do I go for it? Or do I get back in? Because I know what this is like. I know this is comfortable. I know this is secure. Yes, I'm in a storm, but at least I've got something. Or does he say, it's at this moment where I need to place my faith in the One who's calling me and place my faith completely in Him. And that's that step where he lifts the back foot and he rests completely in the faith that Jesus has called him. And Jesus has called him into something that Jesus says, look, this storm here, this water, it's just a staircase for me. I'm in control of this, and I'm calling you to step out and come to me. It would have been a moment of doubt, I reckon, as Peter stands, one foot in, one foot out, looking two ways, because that's what doubt is. Where you kind of look one way and you see something, and then you look the other way and you go, which one do I do? If I do that, there's a risk. This is safe. Should I just do that? But Jesus called Peter to come. He would have stepped out, lifted the back foot, and said, Jesus, I put my faith and my trust in You completely. It says a lot about where we are as a core at the moment. We're probably very safe in here. There may be the storms that come at time and we work our way through those storms, but we're very comfortable in this. And those words that are on the back wall up there, that say that we exist because we want to transform our community with the love of Jesus. To really do that, I suppose we're standing here like this. We're standing at this moment where we say, well, if we're going to transform our community with the love of Jesus, there's one foot out, but one foot in. We don't really know what this looks like. But is God actually calling us to live this out, to transform our community with the love of Jesus? If he's calling us to do that in practice, then there's going to be a moment where we need to say, well, Jesus, if you are calling us, we need to step out in faith and lift that back foot and say, trust you. Some of you may be saying, yeah, Jesus fell, Peter fell. He went down in the water. He took his eyes off Jesus. He lost it completely and he started to drown. Actually, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that he started to drown. It does say that he saw the wind and the waves that were around him, verse 30. He was afraid and he began to sink. But he cried out to the Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Some of you may be saying, yeah, but Jesus said, you have little faith, why do you doubt? I think about all the guys who are sitting back in the boat, who are probably saying, what do you think you're doing, Peter? It's a stupid idea to get out of the boat. Nobody walks on. There's Jesus who's walking on the water. You don't do that. We don't do things like that. But Peter said, Jesus, if you call me, I'll come. And even though he started to sink immediately, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus reached out. I wonder where you sit at the moment. I suppose the first question is, have you got into the boat to start off with? Are you still stuck over here on the shore saying, actually, I just want to be really close to you all the time. You know, I want to sit here under you. And even though you've said go, even though you've said head that way, God, I just want to sit here. I'm really, really enjoying this. Just want to be close to you, Jesus. Maybe you have stepped out into the boat and you've said, all right, this is where I am at the moment. It feels like there's a storm. Feels like it's a bit uncomfortable sometimes. And I don't know where we're going or what we're heading towards, but at least in the boat, I'm calm and I've got something around me that's familiar and I'm secure. But maybe God is actually saying to you today, actually, I'm calling you to something more. I'm calling you to take that step. And for a while, you may want to stand with one foot in and one foot out. If I'm calling you, I'm calling you into something that I know I have. And my promise is, I will never leave you or forsake you. And I want you to step onto that front foot, to leave behind those things that you may be clinging on to, and to say, Jesus, I follow you with all of my faith, because you've got this. I don't, but you do. And that's who Jesus called us to today. So that's what Jesus calls us to today. To say, God, I place my faith and my trust in you. Yes, that's who we are as a call. That's who we want to be as a church in the inner city. But it's who God calls you to be as an individual, as a follower of Jesus Christ. That he wants us to step out in faith to the places that he's calling you to. And it may feel scary and it may be unknown, but he says, and we may feel like we step and we fail. But Jesus says, I'm here. And I've got you. I love the very last thing of this. Back in the boat, Peter gets back in. I suppose Jesus was in here as well, but he's here with all the other disciples. And they're all, at this point of time, worshipping Jesus. The storm had calmed. Can you imagine Peter, though, sitting right at the back of the boat? My things just fell off. That's okay, I'll fix that. Sitting right at the back of the boat, wet, cold, got a towel over the top of him, thinking, I failed. I stepped out in faith and I failed and I let him down. I'll never be able to show my face around again. Can you worship God in those moments? But doesn't it say? Verse 33. When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Truly you are. And even though Peter may have fallen into that water, Jesus actually still called him time and time again to be the person that he called him to be. To be close to Jesus. To be with him. And that's what God calls you to today. To be close to him. To step out of the boat. To be the person that God has called you to be. A follower of him. Father, today we stand on that. That you are our confidence. But when you call us, you don't call us into something that is insecure or unsure from your perspective. Yes, we may look and go, I've got no idea what you are calling me into. And I don't even feel like, God, that I am ready. I pray that you'll help us to be people of faith. Faith that when you call us, your promises are sure. And we can have every confidence in who you are. That you are there for us. Even when we don't feel like you are there, God, let us know your presence. God, as we step out in faith, following your calling, help us to be sure and certain you are there all the time. That you wrap your arms around us. That you reach out your hand to catch us. So Father, we say thank you for who you are. The God of all creation. Today, Lord, I ask that we will be people of faith. Who respond to your call. And doing so, fully confident that you are in control. So today, Lord, as we go from this place, as we step into places that you may be calling us into, give us the assurance of your presence. You, God of all creation, the wave walker himself. Father, we place our faith and trust in you, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.